You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
With the college football season just 10 days away, the University of Kansas shared news today of a record donation for the ongoing Gateway District Project. Just maybe someday we can get a donation for the Mission Gateway Project. David Booth, who graduated from Lawrence High School and from KU, has made a $300 million donation.
Wow.
To aid phase two of the major football stadium renovation and complex construction. His name is all over KU athletics buildings in Lawrence. KU's David Booth Memorial Stadium, named for the benefactor, will see its first phase completed by the end of August. He had already previously donated $50 million in 2017. Man, what does he do?
Is that the radio station family?
No, that is he is not related to the Booth family.
Why is it called Memorial?
Oh, a lot of the stadiums were after the war, Sam.
It was originally called Memorial Stadium, like Memorial Hall downtown.
I thought
Kansas
it was
City.
David Booth Memorial. No. And like, he's still with us. No. He just donated $300
million. All of those stadiums went up after everybody started coming home from the war, like, and so they would just call them Memorial Stadium.
Like, Nebraska's football stadium is called Memorial Stadium. When Dana and I were in school, the only name on that stadium was Memorial Stadium.
That makes sense. Okay.
And
I thought it was David Booth Memorial, and I'm like, he's obviously not dead.
No, he's clearly not
still
dead.
Still around.
That hand is still writing checks.
Do you know how excited people are to go check that stadium out?
I haven't seen it in person. I've only seen the pictures. It looks great.
Are they calling it the Nest? I heard they were calling it the Nest. I hope so.
Well, that'd be cool.
It looks like a nest. It's got those.
It's amazing how quickly they got it up.
Yes. I know it.
Saving that one.
Okay. All right. As soon as I said it. All right.
This story makes me mad, and not for the reason you think. And I know I'm going to have parents that are mad at me because of my take on the story, but I have been very consistent as a breeder that there are places children belong and places they do not. We will start with the movie theater. Do not take your baby to the movies. Do not. Get a sitter. Stay home. There are certain things when you have a baby that you don't get to do for a while.
Airplane if it's not a family emergency.
Oh my gosh, we could go on and on. Fine restaurant or otherwise. Do not bring a screaming baby into a fine restaurant.
And I don't say this as somebody who doesn't like children. I have two of my own.
I have a lot more than that. I have double the number you have.
I know.
And I remember when they were little, there were certain things that you don't get to do. Here we go. An umpire scolds Emma Raducanu for asking the umpire to address a crying baby in the tennis stands at the Cincinnati Open. And I'll tell you this right now. This baby was going on for so long, 10 minutes. God bless that poor child. It was 105 degrees. The crowd is with the player on this.
It's a child. Do you want me to send the child out of the stadium?
So what you heard there, Sam, we'll play it again, was the tennis player, Raducanu, saying it's been 10 minutes.
So what you can't see is that she's about to serve, and then she stops and walks away and points at the baby with a very angry look on her face. And that's when the umpire says, what do you want me to do about it?
Do you want me to send the child out of the stadium? And if you listen closely, you hear the crowd say, yes.
Child, do you want me to send the child out of the stadium?
So here's the story from Yahoo Sports. She went on, by the way, to lose the match and tens and tens of thousands of dollars. There are some places where it is not appropriate to have a crying child. A theater, a wedding, a professional tennis match, for example, they write. Emma Raducanu pointed out the latter on Monday during her match at the Cincinnati Open. A crying child in the stands disturbed her as she prepared to serve at a critical juncture in the deciding third set while trailing 4-3. She paused, asked what you just heard. You heard the umpire, perplexed, chided back. Wait, what do you want me to send the child out of the stadium?
Yes.
And then a round of yeses emanated from the stands in support of the idea. And so the umpire ends up saying, I can call it in, but we need to continue for the moment. Okay. In what world are you the parent of a screaming child that has been crying for 10 minutes during something where in tennis you can hear a pin drop?
It's like golf.
In in those tense matches where it's coming right down to the wire. In what world are you so... What is the word I'm looking for here that you would not, for
self-absorbed,
yeah, that you would not say, oh my gosh, I am so sorry, the second a baby's... First of all, why are you taking a baby to the Cincinnati Open?
Here's another one. You mentioned movie theaters. I mentioned airplanes. You mentioned high dining restaurant. Here's one that drives me insane. And listen, I know everybody's got to get their worship on. Church.
Oh, no.
I know they've got the crying room and you're supposed to take the baby.
How many times have I been in church right in front of a family that, for whatever reason, and listen, I want you to get to heaven too. I want that kid to get to heaven. Not today.
Do we have to do this today? Every time this comes up, people get so mad at me. But I will remind you, for years, there were just things that we also did not do.
I disagree about the planes and about church, specifically about church. Get them in there early so they get used to it.
But why do I have to suffer through it?
Get them in early so they get used to what, Sam?
Being at the church.
But at four months old, they don't know that where they are.
Tell me one memory you have being 2 years old. One.
I don't know.
Exactly.
He's saying you just start taking them at age 3 or 4. If that's your thing.
Watch, what's his face, Joel Osteen on Sundays at home until the kid is 3 or 4 years old, and then slowly start to work them into Sundays.
Oh, phones are going to ring now if you're saying don't take them to church. I have sort of changed my, Sam, my thinking with airplanes because of one of our listeners. Well, yes and no. I never flew with the kids, and I was blessed to have my family here, and so do you. So... A listener called in one day with a very impassioned response to that and said, Dana, number one, we don't all have family right here. And, you know, to go see the grandparents couldn't fly. Sometimes you have to fly and you do the best you can. And amen, sister.
Car broken?
And then someone called in and said, military families have to do it all the time.
All right.
I felt guilty.
Now, come on. Give me a break. First of all, military families don't do it all the time because they move their cars with them.
Well, when she said that, I felt bad.
First time
they fly their cars.
Excuse me?
You could.
They ship their cars in shipping containers.
You could.
On boats, if you're going overseas.
No, people do ship cars. That's not my point. My point is, I used to be, why is this happening? You do not need to take a baby, even to a funeral that far away. And then that woman called in, and since then, I'm like, you just hope it's not a screaming child on my flight for 10 hours.
I remember when we were... My dad was assigned to Fort Richardson, which is where the summit is going to be held on Friday between Trump and Putin. We were stationed at Fort Richardson, Alaska, which is right outside of Anchorage. We were at Fort Hood, Texas.
I hear you.
We drove, all four of us, my mom, my brother would have been three. I was six. We drove all the way from Fort Hood, Texas to Anchorage, Alaska, which was really weird because we had to go over this long bridge.
It was like 100 miles long.
Because it's an island.
Here's what I know. There are times, military, family, or otherwise, you have to fly. There is zero reason or rationale that you would have to take a baby to a tennis match finals.
I agree with you on that.
And why didn't the parents leave? Because they spent thousands of dollars to be there.
Well, but 4 years.
Sam, on the front end, you know that. You know what? If you have the money to sit in the super fancy seats at an event like that, you probably have a money to travel with someone that can help you with the baby while you're watching the tennis
game.
How
am I the only one in this program that doesn't have kids and doesn't hate kids?
That's why. No, I don't hate kids, Sam.
No. You know why? You don't understand.
You know why our opinions differ on this? Because we've done it and we gave up those freedoms.
And we've been mortified when our kid was in it. I can still remember.
Free State Brewery in Lawrence. I had to get up and just run out of there with Jack. Jack was having none of it.
What was that really good Italian restaurant?
Rosso's.
No, it's in Lawrence. Now it's only in Topeka, but it was on the south side, like around 25th. There was this great Italian restaurant. And Sarah was just a little kid, or Maya, I can't remember which one. And Sean and I had one of the babies in this restaurant. They decided that they had had enough for that
arched
night.
Back. Did we see an arched back?
We did. And eyes closed, screaming, topo lungs. And we just decided one of us is taking this child out to the car and the other is getting everything to go and the check.
Wrap it up.
And see, Sam, I think that's where we differentiate is we've been in that position where you're so embarrassed, mortified,
or also
that you're
just
ruining other people's night.
Self-aware to the point that
Pisanos, thank you, Texas.
Pisanos.
So
how
good.
Did I forget Pisanos?
Oh,
my
so
God.
Good.
Well, you guys are backtracking now because the whole beginning of this conversation, you were like, well, they're not self-aware at all. These loser parents making other people suffer with their kids.
Well, first of all, I think there's a difference between Plaza 3 and Pisanos.
Nah.
But it was a good restaurant. But you could go and dress like I am.
Anytime there's a screaming baby in a restaurant, I'm telling you, it's not okay.
It's time to go.
Because you have the ability as an adult to stand up and take it outside.
I do agree with the restaurant.
Yeah.
And the movie theater.
Movie theater, for sure.
Because why is your kid in a movie anyway? He's not even watching the dang thing.
And I do think
but Sam, to that point, why is the kid at church? He doesn't know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that is a familial thing in a way that going to the movies may not be.
I was going to say, comparing Superman and God is
no, I'm just saying.
The kid doesn't know that he's listening
about
God.
We're comparing the awareness of a six-month-old, which is zero.
From the text line, Fazoli's. We're talking nice Italian restaurants here.
Wow. Wow, that is below the belt, Samuel. 913-586-7798. 586-7798. You're going to burn in hell. Here on Dana and Parks. We're talking about the story out of the Cincinnati Open Tennis Tournament. There is a player by the name of Emma Raducanu, common spelling. And at one point, there was a baby in the stands that was losing its lid. We've all been there, whether it's on a plane or in church or at a restaurant or sporting event, movie theater, whatever. And somebody's kid has just decided this is not going to be their night, and it's probably not going to be your night to enjoy a meal in peace and quiet with your spouse or the movie with your spouse or girlfriend or boyfriend or whatever. So Emma, you know, Raducanu. Raducanu.
It is Raducanu, yeah.
Raducanu.
Raducanu.
Raducanu. By the way, this is not the first, and she did at least ask, can you have the child removed? This is not the first time a crying baby at a tennis match has sparked online discussion. At the Sony Ericsson Open in Miami years ago, tennis player David Ferrer fired off a forehand ball in the direction of a crying child.
That's not okay.
In the stands.
That is not okay.
It's like a 100-mile-an-hour ball.
Yeah, it could be.
That is not cool.
And the headline saying that she got scolded, that was the part where she said, okay, but you have to play for now until we get this baby out. You need to play.
Yeah, we have to continue the match.
She had called timeout I don't know how many times in a row.
If you're in the stands, Sam, and that's your baby, and everyone in the stands is saying, yes, get this kid out of here, why don't you get up and go?
Because you spent $1,000 for your ticket.
I would get up and go.
I would too.
I'd be mortified. And I have been.
Like, I thought this would be a good idea. I thought we'd get away with it. But this has not worked out. I'm going.
I know it's hard to believe that Sarah and Maya were not perfect children. But they weren't. There were times where they had decided, I either just
God help
poop
every
myself
parent when
or
the,
I
when
need
the
some rest.
Back is arched because there ain't no coming back from that arched back.
I've walked out of a supermarket and told the lady politely, and it wasn't, my cart wasn't full, but there was stuff in it. And I said, this child is losing her mind. Would you mind having somebody put these items back? I am removing her from this situation.
I left a supermarket crying. You know, when you're younger, you think, I got this.
You don't got it.
I'm going to go to the store with four children under the age of five. You think, I got this. And then you realize once your cart is full.
You're not Mike.
That this was one of the biggest mistakes of your parenthood. And you're right, Scott. You just leave.
You're not Mike DePasquale.
No, you don't got this.
No, you don't got this. Scott in Kansas City. Scott, hello. Good afternoon. Welcome.
Hi. Okay, so Daniel just brought up something. I'm the youngest of five. My mom had seven in 5 years, and we went to the store regularly together. Growing up in church, if you weren't in the hospital and the church door is open, you're there.
Yeah.
So Yes, training happens at home. It happens at church to sit, to teach them to sit quietly and sit still for the duration. But we have 11 children. And if there's one crying, you get up and you listen to this, to the service outside the sanctuary.
Yeah.
I'm totally fine with that.
Yeah. But yeah, we have 11.
You have 11 children?
Yes, and 16 grandbabies.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah. Well, Scott, you are blessed. Good for you.
Yes, we are.
You obviously had a very active marriage, and good for you.
Scott!
Well, he did.
Scott!
And I'm happy for him.
He is a man of faith.
Let me rephrase everything I just said.
I would not be able to do what they did, but good on them for doing it.
I have no problem with a young baby at a restaurant or at church. But if they start to lose it, it is imperative, I would argue, upon the parent, one of the parents, to remove that child immediately.
I agree. It's courtesy. Common courtesy.
Now, here's where I've got a problem. Unless there is a family emergency or some special circumstance that requires you to put a baby on a plane, because it is not possible to remove that child from that situation without incurring a murder charge and other charges, because you'd have to open a door, you should not, I would argue, travel on a plane for recreational purposes, like going to Cancun, been on that flight, with a baby. You're going to have to wait 3 or 4 more years. For now, you're going to have to drive down to the Gulf Coast. And then once the baby child is able to behave themselves on a flight, or there's no risk of misbehavior, then you're allowed to fly down to Cancun or Dominican or wherever it is that you want to go. Now, if you're in the military and you're being stationed in South Korea, God forbid if I was on that flight, or in Germany or Europe somewhere, you have to obviously travel with your baby.
See, I would actually argue that you shouldn't have a baby on a transatlantic 14-hour flight, but a 3-4-hour flight. I would much rather, and I don't have kids, but I would much rather deal with a fussy toddler for 4 hours than 16 hours in the back of a car.
But I understand, but you also don't want to punish a young military. Well, hang on, though. That's not what I was going to say. Mm. You don't want to punish a young military father for 3 years on a tour, you know, just because I'm a young captain and I'm being sent over to Frankfurt, Germany. And because of my career, I now don't get to see my young child grow up. That's not fair to the young service member. And so if that's the case, I'm willing to suffer on the flight. If it means that you get to watch your kid grow up while you serve our country, then I'm willing to suffer if your child loses their mind.
Well, let's lighten it up a little bit. Okay. Coming up next, we have the anti-dum-dum. Word of the day.
We have a new word of the day.
Well, you guys aren't on top of it, so I'll do the word again.
I'll find a word.
I've already got one.
Okay, good. I don't want to find one.
He's very excited about this.
I know.
I enjoy this, actually.
He finds them. We forget them.
913-586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. By the way, before we get to our ADD word of the day, meant to mention this to you late yesterday afternoon when it got out, but Fox 4 is reporting that multiple sources have confirmed that the Royals-affiliated company has reached an agreement that will now give them ownership of the Asperia campus in Overland Park.
I have never been so happy to not live on Nol anymore.
Wow.
Because that is going to be a nightmare.
We can discuss in just a few minutes, but first let's do the ADD word of the day.
Well, now I have ADD and I can't focus on anything else.
To recap the Monday and Tuesday words?
Sure.
And give us the word this time and let me see if I can give you the definition, because when you gave me the definition yesterday, I couldn't remember the word.
You got pretty close. Monday's word was acnestis.
Acnestis. Yes.
Is that the thing between the shoulder blades that you can't reach?
It's a part of your back that you can't reach. Very good.
Between the shoulder blades and above the loins. next, yesterday, was Calipigian.
Calipigian. Yes, that is a person with a really nice rump.
That is right. Congratulations, guys. You guys
Look
are doing
at you.
Great.
A lot of anatomy this week.
A lot of anatomy, I was just going to say.
Most of it on the back.
The Callipygian, side. Fun fact, is below the agnestis.
It is near the loins. Yes.
It's a, correct.
Okay.
Is this another anatomy word, Sam?
Well, I mean, it has to do with people, I guess.
Okay.
Agilist.
Agilist.
An agilist. Okay, can I guess?
Oh, I already know. I think I know.
An agilist is someone who can contort their body into any different shape, like a pretzel.
Incorrect.
You know it's got?
What it's called.
It's like an antagonist. It's somebody who likes to get on your nerves, who gets pleasure out of making you mad.
While contorted into the shape of a pretzel.
And scratching their back.
Of course. On your Callipygian.
What is an agilist?
An agilist is a person who never laughs.
Oh.
An agilist.
Mm-hmm.
Someone with the old RFB, huh?
From the Greek word.
Or BF.
Agilastos.
It's RBF.
What's an RFB?
That's a resting, blanking B.
Okay. Carry on.
From the Greek word agilastos.
Of course.
Which meant not laughing, grave, or gloomy.
Hmm.
Agilist.
What a miserable way to go through life.
An agilist, never laughing. I am the antithesis of the agilist.
You're an anti-agilist.
You are absolutely right.
Mm-hmm.
There you have it.
Agilist in my life.
Okay.
You know I almost died today because a thing fell out of the ceiling and almost killed me?
Sorry? Dana, that was not a thing. That was a, first of all, that was a event.
I want to do one of those Facebook polls. If you had a vent in your ceiling that was askew,
yeah.
Would you A, take the time to find a ladder and a screwdriver and try to figure out what was going on? Or
yes.
B, no, everyone knows what I'm about to say. You get a broom.
No.
You walk over to the vent and you go, ah, and it pops it back in and you're done.
What happened to your house today?
It fell and almost killed me.
Okay. Almost killed you, really?
Yeah, Sam, that could have really hurt.
Okay, unremarkable.
Why didn't you? Totally unremarkable.
Are we ignoring the fact that the reason that it fell down was because it was missing a screw? What did you think was going to happen when you pushed it back up? I did not know that
it was missing a screw when I pushed it up.
Why do you think it was askew?
I don't
know.
It was
missing
Scott,
a screw.
I can't see anything within 3 feet of my face anymore. You know that.
What was
I have
it
no
doing?
Idea.
Levitating?
You knew that it was askew. You had to see that.
I woke up this morning and half of, you guys, it was a standard size vent, a little wider.
Ceiling vent.
Metal. And half of it had just flapped down. I thought,
a screw fell loose. It's an imperfect world.
Screws fall out all the time. It's an imperfect world. Do you know the most likely place that you accidentally die is in your house?
You know why?
Specifically in one room.
It's bathroom.
The bathroom.
Yep.
The reason is because, see, I hate these studies. Like people say, you know, you're more likely to die within 5 miles of your home.
Yeah.
That's because most people, when they're out running errands, unless you're going to work, chances are you're not traveling more than 5 miles from your home.
Right.
That's why you're more likely to get into a car accident within 5 miles of your home.
Correct.
Because.
But are you in the bathroom more than any other room in your house?
No, but that is clearly the most dangerous because of the water and the tile or wood or whatever. You know, when you're in a shower, showers are not the most, I was going to use the word sturdy, slippery less places to be.
Slippery less?
Slippery less. We're going to go with that word. Okay.
We need some sandpaper starfish for the floor.
You know, we're about at the age that we need the old grab bar, and I'm not even embarrassed to say it.
No, that is a lie. I am not getting a grab
bar. In the new home that we purchased, we've only got two bathrooms. One of the showers happens to have a grab bar in it.
Well, only
it is
one
stylish.
Of them. No.
I'll tell you right now, it is stylish.
Sam, I've been to this house.
It is sturdy, and I'm not immune to grabbing on that thing when I'm getting out of the shower.
Ask Dana, Sam. Sam, ask Dana if this is in the shower that they had renovated, because in one bathroom, they didn't need any real work done.
Yeah.
And in one, they had it completely cleared out and remodeled.
We got it.
Ask her if it's in the remodeled bathroom, because if it is, that means they asked for it.
No, we inherited the grab bar in the other shower, but
no.
I'm telling you, yes, we did. I used to think.
Swear on somebody's grave.
In the shower that did not need messing with, that's where the grab bar was.
Okay.
And I'm telling you.
Why would it be in a kid's bathroom?
I'm not saying I used to make fun of it, but it was the guest bathroom. I used to think, you know what? I'm never going to be at the age where that would be useful to me. My mom has one, you know.
Now you're a grab bar fanatic.
And now that I've grabbed onto it, and it is, it's kind of nice. It's sturdy.
I would hope so.
I'm not going to say we're going to install one in the new shower, but it would probably cut down on a large number of falls and accidents if we all, as Americans, embraced the grab bar.
Now, I never believed the falling in the shower thing. I've always had some pretty
Tell that to Whitney Houston.
All right.
Shower floors. I have a old school, and I mean old school bathtub now. I never knew that old school bathtubs valleyed in the middle.
Sam.
There is no flat portion of the bathtub.
That's how it empties out.
Sam, we paid money for the clawfoot bathtub. And I will tell you,
why
I almost
does it valley in the middle?
It valleys in the middle. I will tell you, if you could put a grab bar outside of that thing, I would have done it because it is slick as snot when you are getting out of that thing.
I almost fall over every time I go to like wash my lower extremities
you
because
need something
of the middle
to sturdy.
Valley.
Yes, you need something to sturdy yourself. Remember when we were kids, they had those little sticky, they were shaped like stars.
Six-sided stars.
Six-sided stars, and you would pull the sticky tack off the back of it.
Almost looked like a snowflake.
Yes, and Sam, you would stick those onto the bottom of the tub as a, you know, they were kind of like sandpaper on the top.
And nothing said, I'm going to retire in a trailer like that.
Those were big time in North Topeka.
I'm sure they were.
That was part of our decor. You watch your mouth.
They wouldn't even sell those at Walmart. That was Dollar General exclusive.
We had them in every one of our houses. And I'm telling you, the things I used to make fun of, I'm now starting to embrace in my mature age.
I will say this. What I find fascinating is watching Sam literally walk himself in to a Dr. Rick commercial. I mean, it is remarkable.
Sorry, I'm in here frantically editing all of the Dana-isms that came out of the grab bar segment.
Are you serious right now? Now that I've grabbed onto it, and it is... It's kind of nice.
And next.
And I'm not immune to grabbing on that thing when I'm getting out of the shower.
Those are the only two I've gotten so far.
So far.
Seriously, the phones are ringing. I don't know why, but one of them is named Dana. I think we should take that just because of their name.
913-586-7798. 586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. Eddie Vedder, in a rare song that we can understand. He's not going solo, is he?
That is solo Eddie Vedder, yeah.
Huh.
From 2007. Turns out the older he got, the better he got at singing.
The more he could enunciate his words.
It's very calming. I find his voice very, very calming.
I love Eddie Vedder. I love Pearl Jam. It's just there's songs where I'm in the car and I sound just like that.
Makes me so happy.
From the BBC, cats develop dementia in a similar way to humans with Alzheimer's disease leading to hopes of a breakthrough in research, though, say scientists. Experts at the University of Edinburgh carried out a post-mortem brain examination on 25 cats which had symptoms of dementia in life, including confusion, sleep disruption, and an increase of vocalization. They found that these cats had developed a disease very similar to Alzheimer's disease. Mm. Very similar. Okay. The inmates making quadruple murderer Brian Koberger's time in prison a living hell knew he was coming to the high-security Idaho lockup and planned how they could carry out a campaign of harassment against him, according to a report. Good. Make him miserable. Koberger was transferred from jail to the only high-security prison in the state after he received four life sentences last month for the gruesome slayings of four University of Idaho students in 2022. Says former homicide detective Chris McDonough to News Nation. He said the prisoners at the Idaho Maximum Security Institution in Kuna were aware that he was coming. The inmates were apparently waiting for him. And when he got there, They are now making his life absolutely miserable. They got together and said, okay, well, you know, how do we harass this guy? And apparently, I'm continuing the quote, by the way, and apparently they set this up long before he got there. Mm-hmm. The guards were unaware of it until it started happening. Apparently, what they're doing is they're mocking him. They're yelling, keeping him awake.
Good.
Harassing him whenever they see him.
Good.
Relentlessly, yeah.
And that's probably going to continue for the rest of his natural born life. And you know what?
Well, he shouldn't have slaughtered four co-eds.
That's exactly
right.
He
can't remain in solitary forever.
Why not?
Because he'll be killed, if we're going to be honest.
Okay.
They're going to Jeffrey Dahmer him. You know they will.
That's what I'm saying, though, is eventually they have to move him out of solitary. Do they just leave people in solitary for the entirety of their...
I don't know, Sam. When you have...
Sentence?
I've never been in prison, Sam.
When you have someone who's done something so horrible, and this was a crime against children, I know everyone's like, they were adults. No, they weren't. They were 18. They were 19 years old. Those are babies. They hadn't even started their lives yet.
No, he,
in the eyes of the inmates, goes to the very lowest rung, which is that of a child killer times four. He's not going to do well in there. We will leave it at that.
The second he goes to Gen Pop, it will.
Did you just say Gen Pop?
Can we dial down the prison lingo?
I can't believe he just said Gen Pop.
Well, right now he's in Salcon.
Drinking the old toilet hooch.
Salcon.
So yeah, bad.
From the text line, I would think solitary confinement forever would be considered cruel and unusual.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. I think the government would determine that to be cruel and unusual. Yeah, what do they do? Since Sam, you clearly have more knowledge about being
the penal system
in the popo than we do.
It's the big house.
Some of us just call it the BH. What do you do with people who are on death row? Do they only get to mingle with themselves, or do they end up in their, you know?
Typically, they're in Gen Pop, but in a separate wing. There is a death row wing of a prison.
Are they ever in Salcon?
Well, it depends.
Or
do they do something wrong?
Pop. No.
If they do something wrong while behind bars, they're going to Salcon. That's right.
Got it.
Back in the day, they would have gone to the hole.
Right.
They don't do that anymore.
A prisoner made a daring escape from corrections officers at the Seattle-Tacoma International Airport.
Don't we have another escape this week?
And was still on the run as of earlier today. The second case of an inmate breaking free at the travel hub since May. A burglary convict. He was convicted of burglary. John Nino, age 20. By the way, the line forms to the left. He's got a very identifiable tattoo over his left eyebrow.
How is it they can't find the escapees with these gigantic face tats?
Well, they did get the one down in Texas. He's back in Gen Pop, but there was one tenth inmate who they have still not found. He does not have what we call FATAS face tattoos, and so he is still on the run. You doing okay in there, buddy?
Oh, it's a dermatologically questionable choice, but yes.
So John Nino has a fata.
Stop. Gen Pop is a real term. Fata is not.
If you're in Gen Pop. But if you're on the outside, you don't refer to general population as Gen Pop. You big
nerd.
Well,
then how do I know the term? I've never been in.
Because you watch too many movies. He's 6'2", weighs 154 pounds. Man, he is skinny. He has a cursive tat above his right eyebrow and was wearing a red coat when he fled.
Text line says, in Missouri, they would put a inmate like that in PC, protective custody.
PC,
the old PC.
Mm-hmm. You meant personal computer.
With a pro cuss.
Okay. He's in for cyber crimes.
Stop.
913-586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. See you on the other side of the news.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.